Really pleased to have you along here on the Ideas Net. Larry Mueller here. And tell you what, we're going to be switching gears a bit and talking, well, not a bit, a lot. We're going to be talking with you about grilling. We're sort of in a grilling mode right now. I'm in a kind of a grilling mode myself. We've been doing quite a bit of grilling the last few weeks. And Mad Dog and Merrill, our grilling buddies, the Final Egg, we're trying to reach them right now as we speak. I believe they'll be calling in pretty quickly here. They are the authors of several books. One is called Forever Tailgating, and there's another one called We've Got Gas, which I love that one. A great title. And there are several other cookbooks as well. But they're always a lot of fun, and we haven't had them with us on the air for a long, quite a while now. So it's great to have them coming back to talk with us. And you can join in as we visit with Mad Dog and Merrill about grilling. And I think the guys are on. Guys, are you with us?
Well, absolutely we're with you. We wouldn't be any other place but with you, Larry.
Mad Dog, I know that voice anyway. Merrill, are you there too?
Merrill here too, sir.
All right. Well, are you guys pretty busy these days?
You know something? We've been staying awfully busy. We've had quite a few different catering jobs. We just cooked for a sorority group of ladies over at the Lawrence University a couple nights ago, and we've been staying pretty. You know, grilling never stops, Larry.
No. Well, it does slow down considerably for me once it gets cold.
Oh, we got to get you out there, though. You know, Larry, I can see you out there. You know, in January, a nice 3 below 0 and your earmuffs on out there overlooking the lake.
I tell you what, the wind blows off the lake pretty cold in January.
Now, when last we talked, aren't you the charcoal diehard in this world?
Yes, and I have 3 charcoal grills.
Good for you. Good for you. You know, I definitely still a charcoal diehard, but Mad Dog definitely has gas.
You're a gas man now, huh?
Well, I certainly am, and I'm trying to convert the world into gas grills, because as we travel the countryside at home and garden shows and sports shows, we find out that 90% of outdoor grillers try to use gas grills all the time.
90% is it?
You know, we take a survey. Honest to goodness, we take a survey at every home and garden show, every sports show, every stage presentation we do. We take a survey, and as we see it, we get 1 or 2 charcoal diehards, and 90% of the other folks raise their hands. So if it's a poll from across the country that we take a little bit like that, that's what we go by.
Well, you guys, we'll get to that a little bit, some more of that as we move along here. But you guys have been together what, 20 years now? Over 20, isn't it?
It's a little bit over 20. I hate to take it up that notch about an extra 10 years.
30?
30 years.
What's a decade or two?
What's the secret to your relationship?
You know something? During the weekdays, I don't see him at all, and it's a wonderful thing.
I think a lot, too, is, you know, one thing people won't believe, I mean, we really don't argue. I mean, Mad Dog does his thing, I do my thing, and we get together and do the shows, but it actually has been very well, and it's a mixture of things that we're doing all the time also.
Yeah, it's not as though we have as being self-employed as grillologists, it's not as though every day is the same. Every day is different, and because of that, we kind of appreciate that value in life.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, you guys have been doing this for so long. The grilling scene really has changed, I would expect, a fair amount since when you started. Obviously, the gas part of it would be a big part of it.
We actually call it job security.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting. I mean, back in the day, I remember when they first started coming out with, you know, on the gas grills, the upscale gas grills. I remember, of course, I'm dating myself, when they were going to sell a grill for $750. And my thing was, you've got to be crazy. People are not going to pay you $750 for a grill. Well, now you look at it nowadays, people are paying $1,000, $2,000, $5,000 on up. It's amazing.
It absolutely amazes me as well. Although you can get some pretty good grills these days for a lot less than that.
You know, if you check out Consumer Report, and you know, and when we do our stage presentation, we talk about the direct and indirect method of cooking. We talk about high heat and low heat. It's what you need to satisfy your outdoor and grilling needs. It might just be a one-burner gas grill because all you do are a few steaks and hamburgers, chicken breasts, and things like that. But if you want to get a little more elaborate and do indirect method of cooking, we always suggest a 3-burner or more gas grill because then you can have a convection oven.
Ah, okay. Well, I got to tell you, my wife's been after me to get gas.
She's a smart lady.
Because she's convinced that, well, for one thing, then she figures that she'll do some grilling. She won't grill with the briquettes.
You know, it's amazing, Larry. And on another poll we take, and if you can believe our polls, but we do each and every stage show, I ask a proud show of hands of all the ladies that fire up the grills nowadays, and it's risen in the last 3 years up to about 55 to 60% of the ladies proudly raise their hand. So I think you should accommodate your wife and get a gas grill.
All right. Well, maybe I will. She's been threatening to buy me one for my birthday or for, you know, Christmas or something.
Sure. You still celebrate those?
Yeah.
You're older than we are, Larry, for goodness sake.
I still have fun doing it. As a matter of fact, I celebrated my birthday this last weekend. We had a birthday golf outing and 40 or so people over at the house for dinner afterwards. It was great fun.
I hope you hit more than your age in 9 holes, under your age.
No. For 9 holes, yeah. Oh, yeah, I was under my age for each 9 that I played. But listen, let me give the phone number here. I haven't done that yet. If you want to join in, maybe you've got a grilling question or a grilling comment that you want to throw at us, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us, and the email address is talk@wpr.org. Matter of fact, Cynthia, I'm not sure where she's from, but she emailed us. And she says, often the recipe for cooking indirect on a gas grill will say to turn off one side of the grill. However, I use a Weber with 3 horizontal burners that run all the way across. Do I turn off 2 burners and just leave the front or the back burner on? That doesn't seem like enough heat. I've tried turning off the center burner, but then the food, especially a large roast or a bird, gets too well done at the edges near the burners. What's the correct method with a 3 horizontal burner type grill?
You know, you've always got to remember good old mom for one. Medium, off, medium. It sounds like she's cooking on a little bit too high of a heat. One thing that you want to do is Mad Dog, and I really preach, we call it the griller's high five, is that you've got to preheat your grill on high at first, and then when you're done grilling, leave your grill on for 5 or 10 minutes to get rid of all that grease. But it sounds like that after you preheat that on high, you really want to cook on a medium heat, you shut off your middle burner, and that'll be set for your indirect method of cooking.
Okay, so you turn the 2 outside ones down to medium?
Yes, and then you put the meat product in the center, and that's what we chatted a little bit about earlier.
Yeah.
Anytime you have 2 sources of heat, you have a convection oven system, so the heat's going to rotate evenly around that meat product. Back in 1952, a certain company down in Illinois came out with those gorgeously colored 22.5-inch charcoal grills like you use. and back then, we banked the 2 piles of coals on both sides. You let them get good and gray.
Yeah.
You put a turkey in the center, and in 1952, the world had a convection oven.
Yeah, it was
amazing.
And I tell you what, it still turns out a pretty nice turkey doing it that way.
Yeah, it really does. So indirect method of cooking, that's why we mentioned it's kind of nice to have 3 or more burners. You can put the 2 outside burners on, meat product in the center, convection oven, turkeys at 11, 12, 13 minutes a pound, depending on your heat source, your temperature on the outside that particular day. But now for the indirect method of cooking for the 2 burner gas grills, just so we don't leave them out, it's true. You leave one side on, but a medium heat, preheat the grill on high, turn it down to medium heat on like the left-hand side. On the right-hand side, that's where you're going to put your turkeys, hams, your roast, your whole meat products, and put the hood down. But the heat's not going to rotate around the meat, so you need to rotate the meat around the heat. Every 25 to 30 minutes, you need to rotate that meat product a quarter turn, or it's always going to hit one side, and that makes sense.
Does make sense. Let's go to lots of callers online. Let's go to Summon and Nina first. Hi, thank you for calling.
Yeah, I had a question. You know, I'm just kind of a backyard griller, not that often, but interested in finding out what is the best way to do some indirect cooking of chicken and fish. Is there in a gas grill, and any recipes, and where you can find them? Thanks. I will take the call up there.
All right. Thanks for calling.
You bet. You know, about 85% of my cooking done at home is indirect method of cooking. And if he has, like, pieces of chicken to do, you can simply brown those up a little bit where there's heat, move it over to the side where there is no heat for the 2-burner gas grill, Or if you have a three burner or more, just brown the meat products up on the outside where there's heat, move them to the center where there is no heat, and that way you don't have a problem with flare-ups. You sit back, you relax, and it's kind of a foolproof way. We have a little saying that's called slow tender.
Yeah.
And if you grill slow, it's going to end up tender.
It is. And you should oil your products, too. That's one thing that we really didn't get into, but I was mentioning a little bit even for the fish, but even for on the chicken, put an oil base. Olive oil is very popular. Grapeseed oil is very popular. But if you're doing seafood on the grill, whether on gas or charcoal, if you're doing your steaks, fish steaks, salmon steaks, halibut steaks, tuna steaks, rule of thumb is 10 minutes an inch, 5 minutes on each side, and remember a medium heat. You got to get rid of that machoism.
Now, Larry, you've done salmon on the grill, obviously.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, salmon is a great fish to start with because it has those rich omega-3s that are gorgeous for you for your health purposes that fight free radical. By the way, Merrill's the original free radical. Did you know that?
I can believe that.
You're the second one, Larry. But that salmon has 40 grams of protein in a 6-ounce piece. It has omega-3s. It's got as much calcium as a cup of cottage cheese because of the bone structure in it. But you simply, we like to take a salmon fillet with the skin on, glisten it with an oil, season it up, maybe sprinkle a little brown sugar over the top, and you just slap it skin side down directly on the grates of the grill, nice medium direct heat, and just until it starts to bead white on top, that's the natural juices being pushed to the top, and it's firm to the touch, that's when that cut of meat is done, and it's gorgeous stuff.
It is gorgeous stuff, and these guys, I was going to say we've got gorgeous guys here, I'm not sure if I'd call them gorgeous. Oh, yeah, we'll call them gorgeous. Mad Dog and Merrill, the grilling buddies from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, author of several books, Forever Tailgating, one of them. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're all about grilling for this portion of our program here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller with my guests Mad Dog and Merrill, the grilling buddies from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. They've got several books. They do lots of they have lots of events that they do around the state and around the country, actually, for that matter. I want to get you to their website, which is maddogandmerrill.com, and Merrill's with two R's and two L's. So it's maddogandmerrill.com, and you'll get their books and titles and schedules and all that sort of thing, too, if you want to find out a little bit more about them. So you can also email us with a question at 800 at WPRtalk@WPR.org. Let's get it right. Talk@WPR.org or call us at 800-642-1234. Ole in La Crosse has a question for you, guys. Ole, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, okay, so I got like a little portable grill that I like to take with me snowboarding and going outdoors with.
Sure.
But the bottles, they always freeze up in the cold winter. Is there any way I can prevent that?
You know what, especially if you're using a one-pound cylinder tank, you're going to have problems with that because what happens, you end up what they call a vapor lock. But if probably most likely what happens is you can start out and cook for a good 20 or 30 minutes, and then it'll start freezing up for you.
Yeah, that's what's going on.
And here's one chance, and you know, all it means a little adaptation by you is go out and you can purchase an adapter for it, the line, and you can get a little 5-pound cylinder tank. And two things, it'll give you a lot more heat and it'll last a lot longer. So there's adapters out there to connect to the grill itself and then to your 5-pound cylinder tank, and you got her made for hours.
Great. Hey, I appreciate your help.
All right.
Thanks much.
Thanks a lot for calling. Rick in Princeton, Indiana. On to you now. Hi, Rick.
Hi there. How y'all doing today?
Great.
Good.
My question goes with is about these combination grill things that have come out over this last year or two that I've seen at a couple of different stores, and I was wondering if y'all have any experience or opinions with on those things or anything like that.
You guys, what is a combination grill?
You can either do gas on it or you can do charcoal. Is that correct?
Charcoal. The other side is gas.
Yeah.
Yep. You know what? My suggestion, I would just buy separately a gas grill and separately a charcoal grill. You could do that, but they end up being really nice and messy. But, you know, you could buy a Weber grill for about standard $80 and then spend it on a nice gas grill. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to be down in your area. We're going to be over at, actually, this coming weekend. We're going to be in Shipshawana at a nice little, it's a beer festival, but it has to do with grilling, too. So
sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Thanks. What kinds of events do you guys? I've seen you at lots of different places, state fair and all over the place. But I know you were at a sorority doing some cooking. You guys will go anywhere, won't you?
Well, we actually do a lot of corporate events where they'll bring us in if they have like distributors from around the country or the world, and we'll do like stage presentations for them, little 30-minute little skit that we do. That's kind of a comedy routine, but they learn at the same time about outdoor grilling. And boy, we do a lot of catering. We do customer appreciation.
Yeah, wine pairing. Our big thing is dealing with wine. Do presentations on wine and food, and matter of fact, even in beer and food. But it's an interesting business that we're in. It just keeps on going all the time, and that's been great. It's been a great business for us.
Well, it sure has. And Rick, I thank you again for calling. Darren in Boscobel, we'll go to you next. Hi, Darren.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm an old charcoal person. I really don't like cooking with gas. I think it's kind of a, no offense, it's kind of a cheap way to do it for me. I like to stand out there for hours. Anyways, I'm looking at building a brick pit, basically, to grill in. And I'm wondering the best way to do indirect without having to build a second box on it would be just building it wide enough to put the two piles far enough apart be the best way, or just adding a second box onto it that I can do indirect with the briquettes. Which way would you think would be the best?
Before Merrill answers that, I just want to say, Darren, I bet you don't have three starving kids looking at you in the face hoping you had a gas grill.
No, I have a lot of family that likes to come over, though, and they can get a little upset when it's three or four hours of just getting the coals ready, but
And you know what your best bet is? If you want to do on the indirect, and I'm going to tell you a less cost-effective way to do it, is design your brick grill exactly like how you want to do it. But you know what? If you get an old Weber top or something to go ahead and to cover like your whole chickens or roast or turkeys, that will definitely work that way. At least it'll bring the heat up and you'll have a vent on top to go ahead and circulate the air through that.
Okay.
That's the most effective way. But if you want, a lot of people are building the second tiers on their brick oven so they could have a pizza oven at top too.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Well, I'll tell you, the pizza oven, if you check it on the Internet, I mean, the pizza ovens, they're a hot vogue thing. They're coming out. A lot of people are going back to the charcoal brick, and they're also putting the pizza ovens in there, too.
And it does not have to be used just for pizza.
No. So I would check that out. That's another possibility you could do also. And that way, if you have a pizza oven, then you could even do the indirect method of cooking with no problem at all.
That sounds like a good idea. I appreciate that.
All right. Thanks a lot, Darren, for calling. I like that idea. Yeah. Linda in Norwalk, we turn to you now.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Linda.
I love your show, Larry. I have to say that all
Thank
the time.
You.
I listen to it almost every single day.
Thank you.
I have a problem. I've never grilled in my life, and I'm looking at a little tabletop, I believe just the briquettes. And I'm really not sure if I should just wait and get a gas one eventually in a few years, or go ahead and try it.
Well, you got to live on the edge, first of all. But there's little portable Weber. I say the word Weber and it slipped out. A little Weber gas grills out there. They're just little rectangular. They're black. They use a 1-pound cylinder. It's one that Ole was talking about a tad bit earlier that froze up in the winter. But we use those for picnics. We use them for little special events. When it's just the two of us, Lori and I, cooking, you want to throw a couple little chicken breasts on. Don't get the briquettes charcoal necessarily, because I don't think you're a charcoal lady, Linda. I think you're a gas a person who would love to use gas grills, so you use it more often. And if you just go for $50, shoot for the $50.
Mm-hmm.
Just buy that little gas grill. You're going to get hooked on the sport.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Linda. Thank you very much for calling. And Diana in Minocqua. On to you now. Hi, Diana.
Hi, Larry. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm going to tell you right off the bat that I don't cook. My husband does all the cooking. So I have another question for Mad Dog and Merrill. I work for the Chamber of Commerce in Minocqua, and we have an annual event called Beef-a-Rama. It is our mini Mardi Gras. And I've been trying to get a hold of Mad Dog and Merrill. I spoke to him a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Regarding being two of our celebrity judges for our Beef-a-Rama.
You're putting us on the spot, aren't you?
I was very honest when they asked me what my question was. So he says, oh, we have them cornered now.
That's right. And you've talked to us for several years. And hey, to give you a plug on that event, I'll have to check it. Give me a call at the office. You've got my number, but what is the date of that event?
That is September 26th this year.
Okay, all right.
And we would love to have you up here. You will meet the best and nicest people from the Midwest, and you will walk away full.
I've heard great about the event. Everything great. Yep, and I'll definitely get in touch with you this afternoon.
All right. I have driven through Minocqua.
Yes.
That weekend of Beef-O-Rama, and I'm telling you, if you got the windows rolled down,
it is
a wonderful aromas coming through Minocqua.
Well, you know what? Yeah, this is going to be our 45th year, and the very first year they tried fishing because it was basically the celebration of the opening of fishing season, but it didn't take people very long to find out that grilling fish did not leave the same aroma as beef. So we changed it to Beef-O-Rama. And it, like I said, it's our mini Mardi Gras. People dress up. There's music all day long. There's food and snacks. And the celebrity judges basically travel from roast to roast.
Well, we'll try to give it a shot. Thank you so much, dear, for calling.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling.
I didn't mean to do your job there, Larry, but
you guys have probably judged a few of those. I've judged a lot of cooking contests over the years, and the ones that are sort of the hardest after the fact are like the chili ones.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're trying like 30 or 40 different chilies?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we had mentioned we're going to be in Indiana at Shipshewana this weekend. It's actually for judging also a cook-off down there.
Right,
so it should be a good time,
yeah.
a grill-off.
All right. Diana, thanks a lot for calling. Thanks for that reminder about Beef-O-Rama. It really is a fun time. And let's go to Frank in Port Edwards. Hello, Frank.
Hi. Good day, gentlemen.
Good day,
Frank. I haven't heard you folks talking about rotisserie grilling.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, I set up my standard Weber. I'm a charcoal guy still.
Yep.
So that I can rotisserie, probably an 18-pound turkey.
Yeah.
And we've been doing that for our Thanksgiving and Christmas turkeys for years. And they are wonderful. You just can't beat a rotisserie operation. I also use it for game, you know, pheasant.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
And you put that spit full of a little woodcock, and I'm telling you, you can't turn them down. Anyway,
it is amazing. You know, and Merrill and I, in the realm of outdoor grilling, don't do as much rotisserie cooking because we all have grills that have the three burners where we can do the convection oven, and it's, you know, the same principle. I know rotisserie cooking is delicious. And plus, I don't like cleaning those little prongs at the end. You know what I'm saying, Frank? I don't want to be frank with you, but you know what I'm saying? It can be a little messy to scrape and to clean those little prongs.
Oh, you just, that big skewer goes down through there and a little nothing to that.
You know what, Frank? And you're making me hungry, Frank.
I'll tell you, there is nothing like rotisserie cooking, and we do not do that much of it, but every time I do it, or when we do presentations, you know, we'll do rotisserie cooking, but it's like, geez, I got to put that on the rotisserie. Just don't, but that's a very good point, Frank. Yep. I mean, rotisserie grilling is great.
Plus, you get a chance to keep your balance.
All right.
Simple.
Thanks, Frank, for calling. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. And we have quite a few emails here. I should get through some of these first. Christopher emailed to say to you two, Sue and Christopher from the Appleton YMCA, wanted to take a minute to say thanks for being at their event on May 13th. You guys are the greatest, and the grilled beets, I'm told, were really good.
They had an adult health fair, and we did a bunch of grilled vegetables and sampled them out to all the folks. And one I did were the grilled beets, and people who disliked beets in the past, I turned them on to them.
I got to tell you, Larry, when he said he was going to do grilled beets and carrots, I go, oh, great. Wait, well, we look good. If those ladies will tell you, we ran out of the beets. Why, they were the top of the list there, that's for sure.
How did you prepare them? What did you do? Just grilled them?
Well, I hate to say it, but I bought the number size 10 cans of beets.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, nice and tender. They're all small, nice little beets. And I took the little baby carrots and I par-cooked those because they're tough little devils. And I just took a toothpick and put a carrot and a beet on each one, sloshed a little Italian dressing on them,
and just put them on the grill, nice medium low direct heat for 6, 7, 8 minutes. And maybe if you want to baste them again with that Italian dressing, but that's it. And they are delicious. And we actually have recipes in our cookbook called mock potatoes or mock baked potatoes or beets me. Look it up. They're in there.
Which cookbook?
Oh, gosh.
I think it is the Forever Tailgating.
Yeah, it's one of the first.
Forever Tailgating?
Yeah.
All right, well, and again, their website is Mad Dog and Merrill, is it
.com.
Yep. MadDogAndMerrill.com, Merrill with two R's and two L's. Here's another email from Timothy. He says, I'm shopping for a charcoal grill. The price of the brand name is $89, and the off-brand is much cheaper. Why should I buy the more expensive one?
Big difference. The on-brand probably has baked-on porcelain. A lot of charcoal grills are sprayed on.
So it's baked on at 360 degrees on your brand name, so it won't peel off.
Right.
Go ahead.
And the warranty is very, very important on it. And if you're going to get a grill, he does not try to promote any type of grills, but I know the ones that he's looking at it. Go for it. Spend the extra buck.
And
it'll be worth it.
And the nickel-plated grates that are on that less expensive brand aren't worth a nickel.
Yep.
All right. So that's why there's a reason they cost more.
Yeah,
right.
Yep, exactly right. And the old adage, they don't make them like they used to. I hate to say it, it's true for the name brand stuff when we started 30 years ago, but that's life in general and that's business. But they're still a better quality when you buy the quality name.
Scott in Stevens Point has a question for you. Hi, Scott.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, Scott. Good.
Hey, I got a big family reunion coming up this summer. Going to be having about 100 people up there. And we were thinking about doing a pig roast. Had a couple questions for you. First, I wanted to get a ratio of pigs to people.
Oh, you know what? And I was just talking to a friend of ours on what the figure is. And I think that you're looking at a pound and a half per person because you're doing the whole pig. And you might want to double check on that, but we just had that conversation last week.
That's right.
Is it? Good.
Yeah.
You're making me look good, Larry. Thanks.
Well, I've done quite a few of those myself.
Yeah. Good, thanks.
And Scott, maybe Larry can help you out again. Here, go ahead, Scott.
Okay, now next question for you. We were thinking about pit roasting it, digging a pit and lining it with rocks and all that. Sure. You guys have any experience in doing that?
You got a lot of ambition, don't you, Scott?
You know what?
And a backhoe.
Okay.
And a backhoe. Okay, well, that helps.
Yeah. I've done it in the past many, many years ago on beef, but if you check on the line with the Wisconsin pork producers, I believe that they do have a recipe for that on how to do that properly.
I've never done it that way.
Yep. So if you check with the Wisconsin pork producers or national pork producers, I bet you they'll be able to help you out too. And the third thing, Scott, is don't wear black socks with those Bermuda shorts on that event.
Well, that's good advice.
Yeah,
what would be your suggested way to do that, if not pit roasting?
Well, I'll tell you the best way, if you could even do it on the small round grills. We used to do just take pork quarters of pork and then go ahead and rub it with oil, season it very well, and grill it the indirect method of cooking. I must add that if you do the regular pork roast, you're going to come out way ahead because a lot of times we have people that do roast pigs. So I'll go ahead and shred up the pork anyway. So you're better off with the pork.
You could do a little suckling if you'd like to and then do the nice shoulders or the big pork roast. And like Merrill mentioned, pound for pound, you're going to be a lot better off. So you have a little display, plus you have the pure meat roast.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good way to do it. But you're an ambitious young man, Scott. Dig a hole.
Yep, sure.
All right. Well, I appreciate the advice.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling.
The three of us have dug a hole for years, haven't we, Larry?
Yes, exactly right.
Yeah.
But the one thing about it, I know with kind of monitoring that pig all day long, by the time we got around to eating it, I didn't really care if I had any or not. That's one of the problems.
Exactly right. That's why I like the gas grill. At least you get to remember what you eat.
Kate in Appleton, it's your turn. Hi, Kate.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I missed the beginning of the show, so I hope nobody's asked this question yet. I grill with charcoal, and whenever I put my chicken on, the drippings fall down and they cool off the coals.
Sure.
Oh.
Now you're talking pieces of chicken?
Oh, just like the drip, like the fat will come down, or maybe if I put it in like a marinade or something, that'll fall off.
You know, have you ever done the indirect method of cooking, turkeys, hams, and roast on your charcoal?
No.
You know, do you have a 22.5-inch grill? Is it a larger charcoal?
Yeah.
You know, if you just, on the bottom grate, on both sides of the bottom gray, put about 25 briquettes, and let them get good and gray. Light both piles of coal, turn the vents underneath open, let them get good and gray, and in between those, put an aluminum drip pan down below, and then put the top grate back on, and just put your pieces of chicken up on top, right in the center so it's kind of over that drip pan. Put the hood on, and honest to goodness, dear, go mow the lawn, lay in a hammock, go do the laundry, whatever you have to do for about an hour and 10 minutes, and you'll have the most succulent, juicy chicken without any mess at all.
Make sure your vents are open.
Make sure the vents are open, and the coals are good and gray, and that's the indirect. Honest to goodness, dear, then you'll be doing turkeys, hams, roast. You'll be doing cartwheels in the backyard, honey. Truthfully.
That's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, dear.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. I remember doing a turkey that way. Well, I've done many that way, but the indirect on charcoal. And I was at a friend's house, and so I did the cooking while they were gone. They had some event, and then they came back to it. And, I mean, it looked like it came – it looked like it should belong in a magazine. You know, it was perfectly done as long as you – you know, I followed the rules. I put in the exact number of briquettes. When it was time to add, I added the exact number that the home economists recommend, and it turned out perfect.
You know, it really is, and grilling is so much fun, and the thrill you get out of the accomplishment of just cooking a gosh darn turkey, it's amazing, isn't it, Larry?
It is. It's amazing.
You know, you're going to have us on again because, you know, we've touched a lot of subjects so far. But the, you know, the Pork Association, the Beef Association, the poultry, the buffalo, the lamb, they're all trying to make us healthier. And because of that, cuts of meat are getting leaner. And in the past 5 years, we've experimented so much with injectables, with brines, with marinades, with rubs to help contain or add moisture to cuts of meat. And we couldn't even touch on it in about an hour's time here.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We got to get you back and soon. Rick in South Range, though, has a question for you.
Hey, Rick. Hi, thanks for the program.
Sure.
I couldn't agree more about the about gas and versus briquettes and name brand versus off brand. I you don't perhaps want to endorse a particular product, but I can. I have a Weber Baby Q. It is the most fantastic grill I've ever used. I have a large one sitting on the deck. In fact, I'm grilling hamburgers right now. But this Baby Q fits in the trunk of the car. We can take it on picnics, camping. Took it down to Minneapolis to have a barbecue with my daughter a couple of weeks ago. And it's almost like a griddle on top.
Yep.
Have you had any experience with the Baby Q?
We've had plenty of it. It's a nice cast iron top. And I might add, we've had the Baby Q. Right now, honest to goodness, for a year and a half on my deck, I've got the 300, which actually is a quite a bit bigger, but it's still a Weber Q. And it's got two outside burners and a center burner. And you know what? It still ignites after a year and a half. And it really is great. The cast iron has a nice blending of heat, and it works extremely well.
Yeah, it is just terrific. I really like it. And my igniter still works, too, after 2 or 3 years.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. And that lady that called in earlier, that's really a good price
right,
grill, too, to use is the Baby Q by Weber. It's a great grill. It really is.
That was Linda, I believe.
Right.
Linda needs to live on the edge and buy a Baby Q.
There you go. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. So what have you guys got coming up?
You know something? We got a big grilling season ahead of us. And like you do mention, all we ask and all we've done for the last 30 years is to make sure people get out in their backyard with family and friends and do more outdoor cooking, because in 30 years, that's all we've ever preached.
Well, I tell you what, it's been, as always, a great pleasure. You'll come back, I assume you'll come back and be with us again.
Anytime.
And well, Merrill, you didn't say anything.
No, I want to come. I'm shocked that you're letting us come back again after knowing us for so many years. No, looking forward to it. It's really great. I mean, it's nice to be on the show and find out that people are really into grilling. I really, really thank of all the of your listeners calling in.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yep, have a good one.
Grilling.
Appreciate it very much. Mad Dog and Merrill, the grilling buddies. You can just go to their website, maddogandmerrill.org, maddogandmerrill.com, is it? Gosh, is it .com or .org?
Yeah. You don't even know your own email address there.
What is it?
Maddogandmerrill.com.
Maddogandmerrill.com. I want to make sure I get that right. Merrill with two R's and two L's. Thanks, guys, and thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store.